if I can have everybody's attention, we're going to go ahead and get started tonight. I'm going to start off by asking my fellow committee members to make sure that you speak into your microphone. We have several people that are listening out from the live stream, so we want to make sure that everyone can hear and we're being transparent. I do want to go ahead and call this meeting to order. Ms. Margaret, do we need to do a roll call vote?
We generally have that sign-in sheet and do not do a roll call, but if you want me to do a roll call, I'll be glad to.
Please do that.
Give me just a second to find the sheet. Mary Coates.
Present.
Andy Schott.
Here.
Jake Moss.
Here.
Jerry Boyer. John Allison.
Here.
We do have a quorum present, so we will get started. I do want to acknowledge the death of Justice Boyer tonight. Justice Boyer displayed his servant's heart not only in this courtroom, but also throughout his day-to-day life. The Christian directives to love one another, care for one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, help one another, and counsel one another, and support one another were all ways in which Justice Boyer epitomized serving not only God, but his community. He will be greatly missed. We're going to go ahead and move forward tonight with any special reports. Do any of my committee members or anyone in the audience have a special report? I do want to also acknowledge the Sheriff's Department, the Sheriff's Office, in the way in which they handled themselves and Justice Boyer's death. I was quite impressed with their service and the directives in which they handled everything from visitation through going to the cemetery and everything else. Top notch. It was quite impressive, and we definitely appreciate you, and I know Justice Boyer's family did as well. Another report that I wanted to give is an animal shelter update. Judge Dodson has given approval for the floor plan to be sent back to Wick South and Emily for construction plans to be drawn and sent out to bid. We are not there yet. We are still waiting on our construction plans, so then once we get those back, we will bring that back before committee and then hopefully on to the full court so that we won't move forward until we have the full committee and court on board. But we definitely need a clearly defined cost estimate. And as soon as we get all that back and ready to go, I will bring this back before committee and hopefully the court to discuss allocation. All right, do we have any old business to discuss? No? Okay, let's move on to new business. We do have a data center draft that we have discussed. There was an update on the acoustical engineer's report from New Ray's data center. And so the draft for the ordinance related to that is still a work in progress. And so I really want to call out Councilor Murphy, if you don't mind giving us a little bit of an update on exactly where we stand on that data center ordinance.
Yes, Justice Coates, at this point, the AAC and their legal counsel are working on a draft, a model draft ordinance, I guess, for all counties to look at. Obviously, this is an issue that's not just affecting Faulkner County, but is affecting other counties as well. The current draft, though, that we've received, there's a couple of issues with it, specifically dealing with what is a data center. And so we've sent some comments back to AAC, kind of wanting them to kind of take a look at making sure that our ordinance that we use doesn't infringe on any of our employers that are here in Faulkner County. Simply saying just a number of computers or a number of servers in a certain building is probably not sufficient to meet the definition that AEC currently has for data center. So once we get a better definition and better ordinance to prepare, we'll be able to share that with the Courts and Public Safety Committee. And y'all can take a look at it. I would just say at this point, it's just premature to release that. And then discuss it. I think it presents a lot of problems. However, there clearly is an issue with, there's a state statute that goes into effect August 1st. That statute limits quorum court's ability to legislate certain things dealing with data centers. So there's a little bit of a time crunch. AEC is aware of that time crunch. We're aware of the time crunch. But it's just, it's not best to rush things out and then have to scrub it later.
Understand. Thank you. And Council, maybe one more question. As far as once that ordinance is ready to present and we are ready to bring that forward, we are allowed to call a special meeting or anything like that if that time-wise, if that is deemed necessary, correct?
Absolutely. And what I would say on this regard, too, it's not my ordinance. It's not the county judge's ordinance. It would be for any JP to sponsor that particular ordinance. So once a justice of the peace is ready to run with the proposed ordinance, and I'll be happy to email the draft out to JPs and let them know. But then it's just a matter of dealing with the timing and the execution of that ordinance, just like it would be with any other ordinance.
Yes, I do have a copy of that. You and I have been going back and forth on that. And as far as running that at this point as a JP, I want to make sure all of our I's are dotted and our T's are crossed. This is a precedent-setting ordinance, and it is not something that I want to rush through. Even though it is a priority, I don't want to make a mistake and throw the baby out with the bathwater, if that makes sense. So I am prepared to move forward with it just as soon as I feel comfortable with it. But at this point, I feel like we need to really watch our steps carefully.
And to that point, I would echo your sentiments and say, if we're talking about a company that's willing to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in construction costs to perhaps mitigate the sound, I don't doubt that same company would be willing to spend the same amount in litigation costs in fighting an ordinance in court. So we want to make sure that whatever we do within quorum court is going to be upheld later on. And specifically, I think there's a lot of sentiment, at least that I've heard from members of the public, worried about some of the foreign involvement. And we can't make an ordinance that prohibits the foreign involvement. What we can do is we can land use planning. We can create a land use planning ordinance. We can create ordinance that deals with things that we can measure, like sound. So those are issues that have been upheld for years. And so we have to approach it from something that is constitutional, something that has the backing of our judicial system. And so I think that's the biggest issue, is we can't just put an ordinance out there that's doesn't have the legal backing that we need. It doesn't really have the teeth, I guess, that we're going to need as well.
But to reiterate the point again, the ordinance that we have been working on and that is in draft is a data center ordinance only. It does not, that is the very specific projection of the ordinance.
It is
data centers only.
It is directed at data centers.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions?
Yes.
Yeah. Councilor Murphy, if that ordinance came into play and it came to pass, and this company did want to spend those hundreds of thousands of dollars litigating it, could you give maybe an idea of the likelihood of a judge issuing a temporary stay where the ordinance would not be enforceable for a time period?
Well, that's a little bit impossible to know without the exact ordinance that I'm measuring against, but generally a temporary injunction or preliminary injunction, that's going to be one of the merits or one of the elements in deciding that is going to be the likelihood of success in the long run. So, like I said, it's kind of impossible for me to know because it completely depends on the type of ordinance that we pass. But depending on the strength of the ordinance, that then determines the strength or the likelihood that a temporary injunction would be used by a circuit court judge. And also understand, temporary injunctions are pretty rare. Obviously, that's happened right now. I think we've got a lot of press with the Learns Act, but by and large, it's pretty tough to get a temporary injunction.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions from the committee? Any JPs in our gallery? Do y'all have any comments, questions? JPs? No? Any comments from the community?
My name's Phil Murphy. I'm the county civil attorney.
Any questions or comments about the data center draft?
Yes.
Okay, if you can move up to the microphone, please.
Microphone. My question was basically concerning the ordinance itself being a countywide ordinance. If the cities involved in the county do not have a noise ordinance, would the county not cover it, similar to what a deputy sheriff would do, speeding in a town? A deputy sheriff has the legal authority to pull you over. Would this ordinance not cover the same thing?
Ordinance that we're discussing right now is the data center, and so
right.
It has nothing to do with the noise part of it. It is the data center only. So, Councilor Phillips.
And also, with that being centered towards data center only, is that not, discriminatory?
Yeah, so to answer your first question, the Quorum Court can decide kind of how they want to draft the ordinance, but generally a city, if there is a city ordinance, is going to take precedence over anything that the Quorum Court does. So, for instance, Conway here has a ordinance in regards to noise. Whatever the Quorum Court, if they were to pass a noise ordinance, it wouldn't have any effect on the city of Conway. There's also some ordinances where there can be an interlocal agreement with towns. So, for instance, my understanding is the town of Bologna does not have a similar ordinance.
That's what I was fixing to ask.
And so it's in those types of instances that the city of Bologna then can do a couple things. One, they can basically pass their own ordinance, allowing the county ordinance to kind of have precedence and take place. The other is there's actually an interlocal agreement that can take place between the city of Bologna and the county, which basically says, hey, we agree that your legislative or your law is going to be the law here in Bologna. That's really up to the city of Bologna and how they want to deal with that. But generally, most of the county ordinances in regards to this issue are going to be in the unincorporated parts of Faulkner County, unless there's a specific intent in the ordinance otherwise.
Okay, just curiosity, why would it not include the city as well?
Typically,
I mean, if the city does not have an ordinance,
mm-hmm.
Okay, why would this not blanket the city as well until an ordinance of the city overrode this?
It potentially could. Then, like I said, there are a lot of different ways to...
Because that's kind of the way we were, you know, wanting it written, basically, because right now we're in Bologna, they're stumbling on what to do, and the county, it seems like they're a little bit ahead of it than the town is.
Well, and I think to that point, the city of Bologna, at least in what little discussions I've had, is waiting on the county to make a decision. So I think at that point, you know, whatever the ordinance is, that's one of those things that the city of Bologna then can kind of wave its hand and say, we want to be a part of it, or say, we don't want to be a part of it. But the ball will be in their court. How about that?
Understood. Thank you.
I think you had a second question. I didn't get to. What was the second question?
Just the one.
Okay.
Anything else?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
On this ordinance, once it goes into effect, how quickly will Ms. Anderson get relief and her children get relief from the constant noise at her house that she's reporting almost daily? And it's nonstop. You know, I'm a registered nurse. I don't know if you guys are aware that it's not just a nuisance, it's a major health concern. It really is. And I would like to see that family protected as quickly as possible.
Yes, ma'am, I completely agree. I don't know if you are aware, but I live 6,000 feet from the data center in Shady Grove. So I can't hear it from my driveway, but when I walk back to the creek, I can hear it. So I completely understand her, you know, the feelings and the emergency. But like I said before, we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. We want to make sure our I's are dotted and our T's are crossed. Time is of the essence, however. I'm not known for my patience, and so that is part of why I am struggling to be patient and make the right steps forward, because we don't want to make a mistake. This is a precedent-setting ordinance and a precedent-setting situation. I think all of us are just kind of struggling trying to figure out where do we go from here, and we want to make sure that we make the right steps. So we completely, you know, we agree something has to be done. We just want to make sure that we're making the right steps and don't fumble on that, so that we can come back with litigation that can remove what we've done.
And my next question concerns Section 6.
Now, are we discussing the data ordinance, or are you talking about the noise ordinance?
The noise.
She hasn't.
We're not there yet.
We're not there yet?
Yes, ma'am. That will be our that'll be our next discussion.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. All right, if there's nothing further, we're going to go ahead and move on to the noise ordinance discussion from Justice John Allison. Justice Allison, I will turn it over to you, and you can tell us what you got.
Thank you, Chair. Chairwoman Coates. I'll be out. First, I want to acknowledge your work and the judge's work and Mr. Higgins' work on the ordinance that y'all are working on, and Phil's. I appreciate what y'all are doing. I have been out to the house at Bono twice. I was planning on going again last night, but I never made it last night. And I was appalled. I was at the Bologna City Planning Commission meeting when the people with that data center presented there before the Bono operation went into effect. And I was here the night they came and addressed this committee, and I feel like the people of Faulkner County have been lied to by those people. I remember, and I can't remember which meeting it was in, but one of those meetings, I specifically remember the gentleman from New York saying, "I doubt you could even hear it inside a house." And so I'm going to play for you right now a recording that I made the last time that I was out there on June 5th at 3:20 in the afternoon. This is that woman's sound.
This is the house right beside the Bono.
That's me talking in the car. And that sound is blasting her house 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I don't know what that noise level is. I didn't have a decimal meter with me when I was listening to it. That's from the front of her house, the front of her home. She's about 300 feet from that source. This ordinance that I've written doesn't target data centers. It targets noise. I personally
swear.
I was going to try to make you listen the whole 50 seconds of it, but I can't stand anymore. So I can't imagine what that woman's dealing with, having to listen to that day and night. She has a nice place, but it doesn't matter if it's a nice place or something that some people would not want to live in. If someone in Faulkner County is living and enduring that level of noise all the time, or even some of the time, really, that level of noise, that's appalling. When I've tried to describe that noise to people who haven't heard it, to me, the best thing that I can come up with is heavy industrial equipment running at high RPMs with bearings going out. That's what it sounds like to me, a constant noise. I've sat on a tractor for many hours in front of a hay mower, and I know what that sounds like. And I can't imagine trying to sleep through it at night. I can't imagine trying to live with it at night. I can't imagine having a conversation at the supper table with it going on and blaring constantly. That noise that you just heard was taken in my vehicle with the window down from the driveway of that woman's house, right there where the driveway comes up to the house. If you've been there, you know what that's like. The last time I was there before that, I went to the front of the center itself and spoke with the security guard. That was at dusk. And it was really bad there, but that guy was getting paid to be there, and I guess he wanted to be there. But this was from the lady's house.
where she's trying to live with her son, and I don't know who else lives in the house, I didn't meet her, but in the past, when a noise ordinance was brought up before my time on the court, but it was the year before I came on the court, I was against a general noise ordinance. At that time, I could not imagine someone moving in some operation that made that kind of sound on top of someone else's house. I could not even imagine there's a human being on the face of the earth with that little consideration, that little concern for a neighbor. But that guy from New York that told us that he couldn't imagine being able to hear that from inside the house, who stood up here and lied to us and told us that before this was in operation, we got letters. The judge sent out letters. I know the judge's been in discussions with him. And I'm maybe not as trusting as some people, but we got letters saying what progress they're making. They told us they're going to spend several hundred thousand dollars to mitigate the sound. But on June the 5th, the last time I was out there, nothing had been done to mitigate the sound from 3 weeks prior when I was out there. The same sound, the same noise, and that woman had been enduring it for 3 weeks at that time, nonstop. And so to me, I believe this matter is of utmost concern. It is an emergency. It needs to move as quickly as possible. This ordinance that I've written is basically the ordinance that was come up in 2020 that I was opposed to at the time. And I've added a few sections on there, not to target data centers, but to target noise. This unbearable, ungodly, before unimaginable noise that a resident in this county would have to endure.
Justice Allison, before we move into the ordinance, we will need a motion to put that on the table.
Well, I will move to put it on the table.
1 second.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, we'll move forward.
All right, thank you. The first thing I put in here that was not in the previous, if you notice, if you got a copy of it, the red italicized font on there, that is stuff that I added to the previous ordinance that was drafted in 2020. And the preamble that I added there just references the law that basically says the quorum court has the power to preserve the peace and order and secure freedom and dangers from noxious activities. The second clause there in the preamble says that excessive noise in Faulkner County can be a dangerous and noxious activity. I believe, ma'am, I didn't catch your name, but I believe that's what you were referring to, was that this is definitely a dangerous and noxious activity. I added a definition in there of continuous duration that was not there before, because that noise that you just heard played here is going constantly. The way that I define it, I wrote the definition that's, if somebody has a better way to define it, I just named it as a condition that occurs for more than 30 minutes out of any 60-minute block of time. That I don't think anyone should be exposed to that level of noise, probably that much, but at least that much. That there's not an hour in a day that you have to listen to that for 30 minutes at a time. I think that's pretty sad. I also added the clause in Section 2 to where the original ordinance had said that the noise level shall not exceed between... I changed the times a little bit here, too. I think the original times were, honestly, I can't remember. But I changed it from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. and from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. I put on here the noise levels. I kept those the same as they were before. That between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. should not exceed 75 decibels, and between the times of 8 p.m. and 8 a.m. should not exceed 65 decibels. And then I put in there two other sections or pieces where the continuous duration noise shouldn't exceed 55 in the evening between 8 p.m. and 8 a.m. and 65 between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. If you're going to make that much noise. I've visited the site out there last. I put a sound meter on my app. And before we started this meeting, the sound level in here was bouncing between 50 and 60 decibels, is what I was noticing here in this room in general conversation. That noise, I don't know what it is. Like I said, I didn't have a meter when I measured out there. I believe some people in this room may have measured at times, but you can test that. One thing that's important to know about sound it's not a linear model. 10 decibels doesn't sound like a lot until you hear a 10 decibel difference. It's huge. It's like twice the noise. So what you're hearing in here at 65 would be double at 75. And so this may not sound terrible, and you may not even imagine terrible, but if you double this noise level and then play it continuously, my God, you can't sleep, you can't eat, you can't watch television. Thinking about what that woman's enduring, it appalls me that anybody would put her through that. In section 3, I put on here how it should be measured minute by minute, so that we're measuring for continuous noise. Each minute you record 60 recordings, if 30 of those or more is above the threshold, then that's a violation. That was the way, the very purpose for that change. There were some exceptions in the original, including agricultural operations. So your hay mower is safe, your hay baler is safe, your tractors are safe. I still don't think we ought to go set up a tractor next door to somebody's house and just run at high RPMs all night, you know. But I think, I don't believe, Mr. Turner, you would do that to anybody. I did add in here, section I, that the use of equipment in the course of routine lawn care and home maintenance. Put a few pieces of machinery on here that we all do, just to make sure that nobody's going to be violating this ordinance by mowing their lawn. Using a weed eater, chainsaw, leaf blower. We've probably all either heard of or had in the past pesky neighbors that might not like us so well, and if you mow your lawn and they could take a noise meter out there and get you violating for that, they might do that. So this is just a way to keep that from happening. I also noticed when I was looking up the laws that a misdemeanor offense is punishable up to a fine of $2,500 now. It used to be $1,000. And so I took this original ordinance where it said the first offense was a fine not less than $100, not more than $250. And I think the second offense originally said $250 to $500. I upped that to $250 to $1,000. And the third violation, or the subsequent violations after third, from $1,000 to $2,500. I believe that if anyone who makes that kind of noise, again, not targeting anybody because of their nationality, not targeting anybody because of the kind of operation they're doing, but if you impose that sort of suffering on a resident of Faulkner County, I believe that those subsequent violations should increase in severity. And that's the goal of that. I would like to show you can flip that third slide, if you will. This is the place. This is a map of the place. I don't have any fancy equipment to do this, so I just kind of drew it with what I had. But the crypto mine operation owns 20 acres in a strip that goes right there beside the house, and it goes back, I guess, a half mile, quarter mile back there. That measures about 300 feet, so 100 yards. They built that facility 100 yards from that house. Transmission lines are expensive. I don't have any idea how much. I just know that when I built a chicken house years ago, that the electric lines to run it from the pole to the chicken house were high dollar. It cost a lot of money. Would you go to the next slide? They own 20 acres there. Oh, sorry. Go to the next one, please, and we'll come back to that one. They own 20 acres there. That 20 acres right there. And they could have moved that back. They could have moved that facility all the way to the back of that property. And that way the nearest house would be about 300 yards from them with that significant tree buffer. But they chose to save money, to place it where they did, and impose upon that woman the kind of suffering that you just heard on that recording. I'm pissed that that guy lied to me and made me think that this woman was going to not be able to hear that inside her house. I'm angry. Because honestly, if we would have been voting about anything to do with that crypto mine at the time, I would have voted for it because I did not see, I believed what he said about the noise. But now when I go out there and I hear that and I see what could have been done to help her ease that suffering, that makes me angry. Makes me very angry. And I, again, am not writing this to target him or that operation or whoever runs that operation or that kind of operation, but to stop that sort of suffering on residents of Faulkner County. That's my goal here. Could you go back to the slide before that? This, I intentionally made this map where nobody could tell who it was. Somebody might, because it's actually a home that belongs to someone in this room. And one of the things, when I sat out there in the car by that woman's house, listening to that noise, and I thought about, what if we let this stand? What if we don't do anything about this? What if we just say, you know what, tough. You're just going to have to deal with it because you're in the county. Then maybe the next guy that wants your property or my property, he could set up on the property line, by the property next to you, set up on the property line, some noise, god-awful noise blaring operation, and blast your house and your property. This is the home of someone in this room right now. And someone who wanted that person's property could set up on that road some loudspeaker or some god-awful contraption that makes terrible noise and blast on the next-door neighbor's property until their property value was worthless, until they were driven insane and would take a dime on the dollar for that property to get out of it just any way they could, or file bankruptcy or whatever. And then he could move his noise operation over to the next property line, and he could take our home. He could take our house. In the Old West, the old ranchers would cut off water to somebody. And then when their land became worthless because they had no water, they could buy it for nothing after they moved out or were driven out. This could be the new way to acquire land cheap in Faulkner County if we don't do something. So I move that we send this to the full court. If anybody would like to offer amendments, I'm open to this. I'm no lawyer. I'm sure there's improvements that can be made on it. But I move that we send this to the full court with the understanding that I know that Justice Coates and the judge's office are working on something else. And I'm not about doing this to get my name on something or something that I wrote. Fame, fortune, none of that stuff is what I'm after. So I understand, and I will tell you and publicly say that if we can get their ordinance to the court and it accomplishes what we need, then I will be happy to table this. And I would like to get it to the full court, and if there's another ordinance that we can move in and relieve the suffering of Ms. Anderson, then I will table this and let that one move forward. But I would like this one tabled just in case that one passes and it is challenged in court and there is a temporary injunction or a stay, that we can move quickly to put something else in place to again ease our suffering. Because I don't trust the people who put that operation. Could you move back to the previous slide? Yes, ma'am. Who put that operation where they placed it. And that man knew. When he told us they would not hear that sound inside the house, he knew. There's no way he couldn't know. And until I see mitigation measures in place, I want to move as fast and as hard against that kind of noise to stop her or anyone else in this county from suffering that in the future.
So, Justice Allison, just to be clear, have you put a motion on the before the committee to table this ordinance?
No, ma'am, to move it to the full court. That's the motion that I'm putting up now.
Second.
Before we vote, do I have any other questions from committee members? Any other JPs? Justice Strain?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good ordinance. My name's Justice Sam Strain. One thing I did notice in here is that, of course, Faulkner County is a pretty big sporting state. A lot of people have firearms. There's a shooting range just a short distance from my home. And I don't see anything in this ordinance about firearms. If I go out and shoot a vicious animal in my yard that's attacking my chickens or something like that, I think we need something in the ordinance to cover that, because there are situations, and that's the reason why people live in the county. I think that needs to be addressed in this ordinance. Otherwise, I believe it's just going to be assumed that you're banning that kind of noise too. So that's my big concern. The other thing is that I agree with you about this lady, because the OSHA standards, which most people generally refer to, that I mentioned in here before, those are for an 8-hour period. this is a 24-hour period, so it's, you know, I guess the county needs to initiate a hearing conservation program for the county because they're way over the OSHA standard with this noise, and I think that's relevant. And, you know, I think the other, one other thing is the fact that this farmer that has cattle that have moved away from that area, that's what I've heard anyway, you probably know better, but he said that his cattle will no longer go anywhere near that part of their pasture. Well, they're interfering with his business. That's his business. He's making his living that way, so he's actually been deprived of the use of part of his property. That's a, that's another angle that needs to be looked at personally. He's causing economic harm to his neighbors. And as far as that noise goes, I will tell you, I've done a lot of counseling for people that are with people that have hearing loss, and a lot of people just from the ringing that they have in their ears from being exposed to loud noise have psychological problems and require counseling and medication, things like that. So I agree with you that she will probably be dealing with some psychological problems if she has to listen to that 24 hours a day indefinitely. But my primary concern is about no firearms mentioned in here in the sporting. People hunt right across the lake from my house. I mean, I hear shotgun, duck hunting and stuff all the time. It needs to be addressed. Thank you.
Yeah. Can I address that?
Absolutely.
First, I would not be opposed to an amendment. Like I said, I'm sure this isn't perfect. I'm no lawyer, so I would be more than happy to entertain any amendments to it that are necessary. I've shot possums in my yard in the city limits of Bologna for getting into my watermelons and my cantaloupe, so I understand that completely. I would like to ask Councilor Murphy, would the appropriate place to address the economic harm be civil court?
Yes, the appropriate place for economic harm would be civil court. This is creating a criminal penalty, so just like in any other crime, this imposes a monetary penalty, and that's really all it does. I mean, it's a misdemeanor, which is the maximum of what the court can create. Felonies are left up to the state legislature. But as far as individual property owners, they have rights still as property owners, and they have the ability to file a civil lawsuit, generally in circuit court, to seek damages, both damages to the loss of value of their property due to noise and damages in regards to their physical health as well. Those are things that are really not proper for the quorum court to deal with. That's, we're not kind of in the business of legislating or defining what a nuisance is or what the civil remedies are. The quorum court has the authority, though, to establish a criminal misdemeanor penalty, and that's what this ordinance does. Certainly for, I believe, her last name is Ms. Davenport, is that right?
Ms. Anderson, is that right? Is it Ms. Anderson?
Excuse me. I think for Ms. Anderson and for others that are affected, absolutely, they need to seek civil counsel in regards to long-term damages, as Justice Strain was potentially pointing out, and in addition to potential property values. But that's really for a civil circuit court to decide. That's really not for the quorum court to decide.
I got a question, Counselor. So is there anything preventing them from doing that right now without the quorum court passing this? Assuming, say, if it was tabled and left in this committee just while AAC works their potential ordinance, is there anything that's stopping them right now from seeking, addressing this on their own?
When you say them, we're talking about
the property owners.
Yes, like there is nothing that's stopping them from going.
So the quorum court can continue to consider, do all that, and the property owners could go address that themselves?
Absolutely. We're talking apples and oranges here.
Okay.
So the apples being the civil process, oranges being the criminal issue that the quorum court's dealing with.
Thank you for clarifying.
And again, I mean, if someone has an idea to amend this, I'm open to it. I'm not opposed. This does not have to be my ordinance. I would strike my name from it altogether.
Counselor Murphy?
Councilor Murphy, I have one other question. If we were to remove the emergency clause from this particular ordinance, would that, when we have to do the three readings, would we be able to make some amendments to that ordinance before the next reading, or would it have to stay exactly the same?
So generally, anytime we make an amendment to an ordinance, we restart the three readings clock, which means you can vote to waive a reading or two or whatever, but anytime we make an amendment, that restarts the readings.
Yeah, I'd like to say that I am pro getting this problem taken care of with the noise, but I'm not exactly pro noise ordinance. I would feel better about taking off the emergency clause if that's something that you. I move that we remove the emergency clause from this at least.
I would second that motion.
And I'm not opposed to that. If that's what allows us to get to the full court and have the people's voice be heard, people know that we're trying to do something and move forward on this, I do not have an opposition to that. And the interest in transparency in general, I think the three reads clause is a good idea.
With a motion and a second, do we need to vote on that?
After all discussion, and you're ready to take a vote just now.
All right. Anything else from the committee, from the JPs in the audience?
So can you get three meetings in if you don't do the emergency? You can get three meetings in before August 1st. I mean, is there a time?
We can also, it's my understanding, we can also amend the readings if we make a motion to do that in our next meeting, correct?
The quorum court can always move to waive the three readings, just like we can with the emergency clause. So at any point in time, we can waive the first, waive the second, waive the third.
I think I saw somebody in the back. Did you have a comment? Can you come up to the microphone, please?
Good evening. Thank you. My name is Michael Smith. I guess I was looking at the violation section here, section 6, and talks about three violations, and the maximum, I guess, gets up to $2,500. In a situation of continuous, how often are we going to be looking at that violation? Is that every 8 hours? And then we are rack up three violations, and then is it that $2,500 fine continue for every 8 hour period that they continue the violation on a continuous noise? Someone with I know we're not talking about the data center specifically, but a company with big pockets who can run such an operation, $2,500 is nothing. And if they don't have a continuous fine, that's something that's again, a time frame for the violation to be, and then because you're going to have to notify the company, they're going to have to be able to get an opportunity to get changes enacted, kind of like what I guess they've already been approached to do, and we haven't seen any action on that. Somewhere we need to capitalize their fines in order to get them to move a little quicker so that, but they're also, I think we need to define on the continuous side. Is it every 8 hours? If it's like an OSHA standard, you can, you know, every 8 hours you have to have this sound level. I was just looking for definitions on that.
I will say the power of the court, $2,500 is the biggest fine we can impose. I will leave it to the counselor to tell me if there's a time period on the number of violations. I know that I was driving a truck one time across Tennessee and got a ticket for being overweight, and I asked them if I hit the next scale, are they going to write me another ticket? He said, no, you've already been written one ticket. So I don't know how that applies.
Here. Typically, every citation would be another fine. So it would be every citation allowable. In this case, it doesn't look like necessarily 8 hours. I think that probably would be a stretch. We'd be asking our deputies a lot to do all the recording that it's going to take as well in order to have the evidence available at court. So I don't think this ordinance really is intended or really would be able to have the financial impact of stopping anybody from really doing whatever it is they want. It's sort of like the same ordinances with our dogs that are at the end of the day, if somebody wants to pay the penalty, I mean, that's their choice. It does, though, establish a standard, if you will, and certainly judges have the ability, upon multiple violations, that would give even more credence to potentially an injunction, if they felt like there was an ongoing violation.
It sounds like, I guess, the ordinance doesn't have the teeth to cause this company to change, or any company to change what they're doing. If they want to, all they got to pay is $2,500 and continue the operation, I don't think the person being injured with continuous noise, 8 hours is quite a bit of time. Three cycles of that is a day.
Yeah, and I completely understand where you're coming from, but the quorum court can only reach that amount, and that amount's been amended here recently, and it used to be $1,000. So it's just one of those things that the legislature would be the place to seek any other monetary amounts above that.
Thank you.
And I will say this, I understand the legislature is also working on things, but wheels turn slow at certain levels of government, and so just trying to make sure we get people relief as quickly as possible. One other thing about this ordinance that I don't think I read when I was talking about it, the county judge has the authority. Someone can apply to him for an exemption if not the hay mowers are already exempt, but if you had some operation where you're drilling something, then you could apply for an exemption, and the judge can grant you an exemption or not. And then also in this ordinance is included a second part where it says if you don't agree with the judge, you can appeal that ruling to the quorum court, and then we would have to hear it. So there's options if you have a legitimate operation that needs to be in violation of this ordinance for a period of time. There are ways to get around it for a temporary situation.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm all in favor of the ordinance. I'd like for it to start tonight. I'm not Gladys, but I live close to her. This was in her bedroom last night, in her boy's bedroom. And you can't live like that. It's just not possible.
It's on. I just want to make sure.
And there is a noise ordinance that the EPA passed in 1972. It says anything over 55 decibels can cause hearing damage, and I can't get the EPA to do anything. I can't get them to call me. I can't get them to come out. I can't get them to do anything. Also, there was a sound study by the engineer in Harrison, and he was reading most of the time 62, sometimes up to 72. I've heard people tell me if they've heard up to 82. And they have told Gladys that there's not, speaking of not telling the truth, they told her that they didn't have enough money to put up a fence, put up a sound barrier. And if for no other reason, just the torment of that makes me so mad. It's not me. This is the only reason that I started following this, was because what they were doing to her. I'd never even met her. It's just ridiculous. And also the lady, I don't know her name. Nikki, do you know her name? That did the sound study? Or is doing the sound study? She works for New Ray. She's being hired by New Ray.
Christian, is that?
Yes.
Christian.
Yeah. And if you look her up, we can't find her on the internet. We can't find the name of her company. Don't know if that means anything or not. And then there is the Arkansas Constitution says, Article 2, Section 22, the Arkansas Constitution guarantees residents the right to enjoy their property without hindrance. And the person that gave me this says that it has been argued successfully to have some businesses either shut down or force them to build some kind of protection around it. So, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. In the back?
Yes. Hi, I'm Aliza Brown. I'm an associate professor from the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences. I am an expert in the study of stroke incidents and stroke mortality across our state. Now, what I'm about to tell you is not represented by UNOS. It's represented by me, who's done some research on this. it turns out that there are studies published about noise production. And what they determined in a study published in 2022 is that for every 10 decibels of sound, there is a 4% risk of stroke and a 3% chance of dying from a stroke. And that 10 decibels of sound is compounded. So for every 10, that risk goes up. And so that lady is at a high risk of stroke. And this is elevated in people that are middle-aged to the elderly. And so we have a severe health risk with these cryptomines. Another thing to consider is that Arkansas was recently ranked number 11th in the nation for stroke mortality. Right now, we just jumped up to number 5. With these crypto mines, I foresee us going even higher. And you have to look at the number of homes that are around the site, proposed site in Bologna. You've got one lady whose home is being impacted by that site. How many homes are going to be impacted in Bologna? And there's quite a number of them. So that is something else to consider. Why let this site even go in and then impose a noise ordinance? Just don't even let them go in, because once they're in, they're going to tell you, just like they did before, oh yeah, we're going to prevent the sound. But how can they? Once they're in. You can give them one infraction, second infraction, third infraction, $2,500. Well, if you're selling bitcoins for $30,000, $2,500 is not that much. So I have friends that are impacted in that area. I would prefer this not to go in.
Thank you. And just for clarification, Ms. Anderson's home is the closest home in the Bono area, but there are multiple families and multiple homes that are affected and can hear the sound. Hers is just the nearest.
I understand.
Homestead there.
This is just such a huge deal.
Huge deal.
And very interestingly, the study that was published in Environmental Health Research in 2022 was a study that was published by Chinese investigators. They don't want it in their backyard. They're bringing it to ours.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your input. Yes, ma'am.
I'm Joanne Plafkin, and I spent my 33 years teaching at the Arkansas School for the Deaf. And I'm concerned about what noise-induced hearing loss. I don't live in Bologna. I live in Conway. But I spent my life with deaf children and hard of hearing kids. And what this noise is doing to children in their developmental years, it will induce hearing loss on kids and older people too. And there's a ton of research out to support that.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
All right, where we're sitting at this point, Justice Allison, I'll just be honest. I don't know exactly where we need to move forward. I think all of us agree that the noise ordinance or the noise from the facility is a huge priority for us. It is in my backyard, legitimately. I am extremely concerned about it, and time is of the essence. However, I am not necessarily on board with this ordinance, especially with some of the amendments that I see that need to be made, one of which is the firearm issue. The fine issue is another, and then one of my other big concerns is our sheriff's department actually being able to facilitate the readings and the enforcement of all this. I just feel like there's so many things that still need to be discussed, and yet time is of the essence. So at what point do you feel comfortable with us tabling this so that we can go back and make some amendments and perhaps bring it back before the committee next month? Or do we need to remove the emergency clause at this point?
I think there's a motion to remove the emergency clause now that we haven't voted on yet. Is that right?
Will you have a second on that so we can go ahead and call for a vote?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Margaret. We're going to do that.
Yes, you do have a second on it.
Yes,
you had another motion on the floor. Can they move?
To send to court. Right now, the motion.
Yeah.
At this point, the committee is voting on the motion to remove the emergency clause. And so I think Justice Coates is asking for a roll call vote.
Coates?
Yes.
Shock?
Yes.
Moss?
Yes.
Allison.
Yes.
So with that vote, we will remove the emergency clause on that ordinance, and we will now require the additional two readings since we've read this one.
Yeah, once it goes to full court, it's going to be its first reading, so okay. You don't need three readings here.
Okay.
Now the issue is the motion to send full court.
Okay. Are we prepared to take a vote on that?
If we want to amend it to include the firearms, I'm not against that either. Could you give us some advice on how we award that?
Since we're in committee, what I'll just recommend is you make a motion to include a exemption that includes firearms, and I'll work on that and have it prepared. I'll get the exact language. Once it gets to full court, y'all can discuss if y'all need to make changes to the firearm. But I would just say make a motion to include a firearm
Section
5 of the exemption. Yes, is there a
motion? Don't need a motion for that? Yeah, you need to make a motion to.
So, how are we going to word this?
You say a motion to include firearms in Section 5.
A motion to include firearms in Section 5.
I will second that motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, Justice Allison, my next concern is the time. And if we are going to move forward with this, moving forward to the full court, the time of 8 a.m. is concerning to me. I'm in the construction industry. I deal with that a lot. Most construction companies start by 6 a.m. That could in turn affect a lot of different businesses. That this may be a blanket ordinance that may affect them. So how do you feel about changing that? How would that affect those? Are there any exemptions that would affect those companies?
I think the construction industry
sirens, whistles, emergency, but I didn't see anything directly related to construction.
We could approach it two different ways. We could make an amendment that would include an exemption for construction equipment on a work site, or we could change the hours from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. if you wanted to do that. That would make it more palatable.
Committee members, do y'all have any additional information? Any input?
Well, to be honest with you, I can make a good argument either way. I think the discussion is extremely healthy, but as the gentleman pointed out, $2,500 fine, but that's not going to have any effect. Why are we doing it? I'm not for more government, I'm for less government. And you mentioned construction not being mentioned. There's probably 1,000 different things that we're not thinking of. And the last thing I want to do is cause panic across the entire rural Faulkner County, because government's here and we're here to help you. I don't think that's the answer. Civil penalties, these people, while I feel for them, that's an avenue that they would probably go down. I mean, if it was me, that's probably what I would look at. I did visit this site June the 7th. I parked in the Bunno Baptist Church and had my windows up, and I couldn't hear anything. So I rolled my windows down, and it wasn't as loud as I thought. Honestly, I'd seen some stuff somewhere, I think Facebook, but it was definitely loud enough where I could follow it down the road to where it was, and it was loud. They had a fence up. I'm just up in the air, to be honest. I mean, I think discussion is healthy, but anybody that knows my background knows you know, I'm looking at this from a law enforcement perspective also. Are we going to have to do some kind of large training with the deputies to use a decibel, and who's going to pay for the decibel meter? I mean, I don't know about that kind of stuff. So to be honest with you, I'm kind of up in there about it. But I do think discussion's got to be.
Anything else from the committee members?
My goal is to get to the full court and let the full court hear it. That's honestly my goal. I think that this woman deserves that. I think that the residents of Faulkner County deserve that. That they should at least know that we are working on it. And, I mean, this is a 13-member body, 12 in the absence of Justice Boylan. But if it doesn't pass, I mean, that's part of democracy. But I do believe the full court deserves to hear it.
My concern is this. After reading the ordinance, I have multiple issues that I feel like would need to be amended for me to be comfortable voting for it. The firearm issue is one. The construction issue is another. The time issue is another. The law enforcement ability to, you know, enforce all of this is another. I don't feel comfortable at this point with the way that this is written to move this forward to the full court without changes, and without it coming before the committee again. How we need to go about that, I'm not completely convinced one way or the other what our best options are, but I don't feel comfortable moving this forward to the full court without some amendments, and probably more amendments than we can work on sitting here in this committee meeting tonight.
I will say, I think no piece of legislation will be perfect. But you can't consider everything. I'll tell you, from a teacher standpoint, I just had this conversation the other day with a friend of mine that working on homework, trying to figure out how to make homework effective on kids. And you come up with a plan that's effective this year, and the kids figure a workaround around it the next year. And that's going to be a constant source of anything. No matter what you do, they'll figure out something that's 74.9 decibels instead of 75, you know. That's it's a constant issue to improve upon what we do. Just shock on with you that I'm not for more government, but
I wasn't applying it because I know
what you're saying. Yes, sir. I was opposed to noise ordinance before, but again, that was before I could imagine this ungodly suffering. I think at one point I told somebody, I mean, this noise, you put this in Satan's lair, and the demons in hell would feel more uncomfortable than what they are right now if they suffered with this noise constantly. This is I just feel like something needs to be done. And if it's the ordinance that you are working on through the AAC that ends up being done, that's wonderful. But if that ends up being it, then I would eventually want this to be, like I said, in case that got stopped in court, that this would be a backstop, something we could pull up off the table immediately, to again relieve these people's suffering and to prevent further suffering, because who knows if it's going to stop it for long. I mean, it could be at every substation in the county before long if we just keep letting it happen. And I've heard all the arguments, and I want to emphasize, I'm not doing this for the cows. I'm not doing this for the critters. I'm not doing this because there's Chinese involvement. I'm not doing this because it's Bitcoin. I'm doing it because that woman in that house is suffering. And there's going to be people in my district suffering before very long if the noise issue is not addressed. That's why I'm moving forward. That's why I want to move forward with it. And while $2,500 may not hurt them, I don't know how much money they're making at this facility. I know they told us they're going to spend near $1 million to improve it, but I won't believe that until I see it. I know they told us that this facility costs $9 million. Maybe $2,500 won't, but that's all the power of this court. No matter how much if they're killing people in the streets, we can't impose a fine on them up to $2,500. That's all we can do. That's the authority that's granted us in the Constitution.
That's one reason that I think, and I agree with what you said, let's say, for instance, this was $2,500 fine every 8 hours, and then we had the manpower to, sheriff's office had the manpower to send someone out there to come back every 8 hours. That would average, if they did it every day of the year, about a little over $2.7 million.
And of course, the ultimate goal is not the fines. The ultimate goal is not to collect revenue for the county. No, the ultimate goal is to stop the egregious behavior.
Absolutely.
So not stop necessarily the data mine even, but stop the noise. Stop the harmful noise. We have a question.
Yeah. I live on Jansky Lane, right next to the proposed crypto mine in Bologna. To me, it's not a noise issue. It's a property rights issue. According to the Arkansas Constitution, U.S. Constitution, no governing body can tell me the conditions of my property. It's codified five different ways in the U.S. Constitution. Elected, this is a republic, and property rights are sacrosanct. All laws flow from property rights. It says it in our Arkansas Constitution. This isn't a noise issue. It's a destruction of my property based on decisions by my elected representatives. And that is the issue here. I have a 1.5-year-old son. I have a perfect, quiet 2-acre property. Elected officials have made a decision to change the conditions of my property to something else. It is no longer the quiet property I purchased. It is something else. Without my consent, without my consultation, without my permission, and without notice. I just found out about this thing. And there's no law that says you can tell me what can happen to my property. And this issue is so baked in to our Constitution. There has to already be something that says no one can give someone else permission to destroy my property. I can't ask a body to get permission to destroy my neighbors. They can't ask a body to destroy mine. And that's the issue I see here. It's not noise. It's not anything. It's destruction of our property. And I don't know what to do with it. But if it's noise, if it's just reinforcing the protections that we already have, just anything we can do, That's.
I would like to say to the district attorney, first, I want to make note that this body has not voted to allow such behavior.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure of that.
Yeah.
And that I don't know that I'm not going to accuse anybody else of voting for that or to make that happen. I don't know that I'm not going to address any other governing body as far as that goes, but the only way that I can see that we can address your concerns is through the noise, I guess is what.
Right.
So that may be to keep your properties from being devalued, destroyed, in your words. The noise is the part we can focus on.
Right.
Justice Coates?
Yes, sir. Justice Sanders?
I don't think anybody here is refuting the fact that there's a noise issue with this. I think it's the fact of what's the best way to address it. And I think there's multiple ways we could look at it. I know in the past there's been looks at noise ordinances, which this is an adaptation of. I can tell you the overwhelming response to that, and Justice Schock probably remembers from our time on the court then, it was an overwhelming, we do not want noise ordinances in our county. And I know this one's tailored more specifically, trying to address a specific issue, but I think there's a lot of issues with this ordinance. I think personally, if I was advising y'all, I'd say let's keep it here in committee. I commend Justice Allison for trying to address this, but I personally don't think this ordinance stops the sound. I think there's a lot of issues with enforceability, and that's something we've had to look at on my time on the court. If I pass this, is it going to do any good? Can we actually enforce this, or are we just passing a piece of paper that ultimately the sheriff's office doesn't have the training or the manpower to address it? How do we address it? There's a lot of I think concerns with the enforceability of it, applicability too. Anytime you put county zoning, which just is kind of going that way, who does it apply to? How does it apply to? And I do think AAC is looking at a potential solution with ordinance that all the counties could use. I know the judge's office and yourself have been working behind the scenes doing that. You know, from what we've seen, and I know despite what was said in committee and everything else, from at least what was delivered in the letter, it looks like there is an attempt to act in good faith to mitigate and address part of this. I'm also leaning on the fact that ultimately, no matter what this body does, as we deliberate, debate, look at the best way, if we address this, that the property owners can go seek legal counsel to decide if they need to address that themselves. So I do have concerns with this. I don't think anybody's refuting a noise ordinance. There's definitely an issue I feel for the property owners that it's impacting. I think while we debate and try to figure that out, I personally think I'd leave it in committee. I wouldn't send it to the full court because I'm not going to vote for this in the full court because I think there's a lot of questions and issues that need to be worked through before we push anything on. And I know personally myself, I'd like to see what AAC comes up with and what are they suggesting the counties to look at and do that. And also sit back, if this is something important enough, those property owners can go seek remedy themselves to see if it is to that level as well. So that's just my
I appreciate your comments, Justice. Thank you. I also agree. My opinion is that this is obviously a priority for the court, and I want our community to realize that we are working diligently. It is frustrating that it is so slow, but we also need to make sure that we realize that this is precedent setting more than likely, and we want to make sure that it does stand in court later, if need be. And if we can get the facility to mitigate the sound, I mean, we've had data centers in Faulkner County for how many years, and this has not one single time come up dealing with some of the largest employers for Faulkner County. And the reason for that is because they run respectful business practices. So if we can go back and encourage, very nicely, these companies to instigate some respectful business practices and mitigate the sound on their own, that would be beneficial to us all. So I think my motion at this point would be to table this, maybe even for next week. We do have full court next week. We could call another committee meeting if we needed to before full court.
Well, we do have a motion on the table now, too.
On the floor now, right?
That's correct.
To remove the emergency clause, so.
No, that's all
done. There's a motion to send to full court.
To send to full court. Yeah, and I appreciate y'all's concerns. I really do. I think that since we have removed the emergency clause, that part of those concerns may be alleviated because this would be the first reading, if it goes to full court, where the people can hear it, and that would push it into July, which I'm not crazy about. I would really like to see it. But I will voluntarily table it in full court or in committee, or well, it'd be in full court then, I guess, but if it comes to, if y'all's ordinance comes to pass in that time, I mean, I'll be glad to table it. If like I said, if y'all's ordinance works, but I would like this one to move to the full court where it could be tabled if your ordinance comes in, we pass that, and we attempt to give these people relief so that in the event that your ordinance is stayed in a court after it's passed, that we would have something available that we could move on immediately to give relief again. That would be my goal at this point. If we can get y'all's ordinance, I mean, that's my goal. And again, the first reading, we can amend this however you feel comfortable doing it, and it still counts as the first reading. And there's two more to go. Is that correct, Councilor Murphy?
Yes.
We can go ahead and call for the vote to move this ordinance forward to the full court. Ms. Margaret, if you will call roll.
Coates?
No.
Schock?
No.
Moss?
No.
Allison?
Yes.
And with that, we will go ahead and move forward. With any announcements?
When will the APC Council, what is that stand for? The Arkansas Council
Association.
So, this is coming from the state, right?
From the Arkansas Association of Counties.
Okay. It's more our reps and our senates and committee.
I'll be happy to talk with you afterwards.
Thank you, because I think we just, if it's from the state, who just did right to mine, put us in this mess.
Yeah, this is not the state.
Thank you.
Okay. I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.